In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it is apropos that we say through the voice of Paul today, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awaken out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. It's apropos because, of course, we're entering into Great Lent, starting this evening with the Forgiveness Vespers. And Great Lent is a time when you should focus more on spiritual things. Now, of course, if we were very holy, like the holy fathers in the desert, we would always be focused on spiritual things. But we are not. Most people are not. The vast majority of people are not. So we have a time when we truly focus on spiritual things, with fasting, with prayer, with reading, with an attempt to learn something from God. Because I tell you, with each one of you, there is something you need to learn about yourself and about God during this Lent. It's time to waken out of sleep. It's time to admit that we go to sleep. It's time to shout from the rooftops, as our services do, that we are sinners and yet God loves us. The apostle goes on to say, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. And then this is the purpose of Great Lent. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Everything we do, whether it is in Great Lent or another time, is so that we can learn the sweet commandments of God and follow them, and that he will abide in our hearts and we will feel him and know him intimately. It's the purpose of our life, to know God, to become perfect. It's just that during Great Lent, there's sort of a more focus on it because we just can't do it all the time, unfortunately. The night is spent. How much of our life have we spent in profitable endeavors? If we were to see some sort of chart of how we've spent our time, there's sleeping, there's reading foolish magazines, watching television, listening to the radio. How many minutes would be spent? What percentage would be spent in prayer? What percentage would be spent in not indulging ourselves, but in thinking of others? The night is spent. We've spent a lot of it and not gotten much out of it. This is the opportunity to admit that. And I've written some. I wrote something in our newsletter today. That is, Lent is a time of joy, not of sorrow. Now, it's a time of realism, and with that realism comes joy. If you've done it and experienced it, then you'll know what I mean. If you're still a little bit scared of asceticism, of the fasting and of the additional prayer, and you don't really change your lifestyle any, then you won't have the benefit that I'm speaking of. But there's a great joy in Lent of just being able to admit you did something wrong and God will help you. I hope you had this experience when you were a kid. I did many, many times because my parents loved me very much. And now I don't want to say that they were perfect parents, but they loved me and I knew they loved me. And if I did something wrong, and I tried to hide it, my mother said I was a terrible liar. My eyes gave me away. Thank God for that. Being a bad liar is a good thing to be bad at. If you're a good liar when you're a kid, God help you. But I was a bad liar, and I learned not to lie. And I learned that when I went to my parents, even if I did something bad and they were going to punish me for it, there was a sense of joy because they accepted me. And they loved me, and I got it off my chest. That's what Lent is like. Going to your father and saying, I've been bad. I want to be better. I don't really know how to be. I say I want to pray more, but I don't know how to do it. I say I want to read more of the Bible, but I hardly ever do it. I find myself irritated again and again and again at the same stuff. I say I don't want to be irritated, but I keep getting irritated. And on it goes. For each one of us, it's individual and different. These are some common things, but there's a lot of other things, too, that beset us. We can admit to God, I'm not really very good at being good. And then with effort on our part, God helping us, we pray a little bit more. We fast a little bit more. We attend a few more services. And there's joy in our heart in being able to say to God, Father, I've sinned. And then he says that he will accept us in every way and put the ring on our finger and the shoes on our feet and have the feast. This is what happens in Great Lent for those who make the effort. Now, how does it all happen? It really happens because, of course, by the grace of God. But what we must do is what St. Paul says a little bit further on in his epistle. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's what fasting really helps you with. You learn to not make provision for the flesh. You learn to say food is not more important than God. And if God says, don't eat meat on this day, don't eat cheese or milk, then I won't eat it, even though I'm hungry, even though I want it. And you learn to control yourself in something that's really very small and very easy. Because controlling your anger is harder than controlling what you eat. Controlling your judgment of others is harder than controlling them what you eat. Controlling lustful thoughts or bitter thoughts or judgmental thoughts or any kind of bad thoughts, that's a lot harder than choosing what you eat or don't eat. And as a pastor, I've seen that people often are consider fasting to be so hard. Well, I'll tell you what's hard. Following the commandments is hard. Loving our neighbor is hard. Not becoming irritated and angry and judgmental and full of ourselves, that's hard. Fasting's easy compared to those things. So if we learn to not make provision for our flesh, everything else gets better. That's why we fast. But there's an important thing that we must do while we are fasting. And that's where the gospel comes in. It's very important to fast, to pray, to decide that you're going to read more. I'm going to make a strong suggestion. I'm going to ask you all as your pastor to read the gospels during this fast. In fact, I might as well tell you now. I want everybody to read the gospels all the way through during the fast. Some of you haven't read the gospels through for a long time. In 40 days, actually in 39 days, because of the way the mathematics works out, we'll read the Gospels, starting with Matthew. We'll read two chapters on weekdays, three on the weekends. And then we end on Thursday before Lazarus Saturday. So in 38 days. And we'll read together. And I'm asking you to keep a journal, and then we'll talk about it. I would like to have discussion about the gospel on Wednesday evenings after we have our Wednesday service. See how many of you will participate. I hope many of you will come. Some of you that normally don't, I hope you come. It's important to read the gospel and fast and to increase your prayers. But none of it matters. None of it does you any good at all unless you have the right spirit. And the gospel speaks of that spirit. The gospel says something both great and wonderful and also terrible and frightening. It's great and wonderful to those who are sinners who understand it and know that this is their way for God to forgive them. It is terrible for those who refuse to forgive others. If you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We have to learn to forgive others. We must learn to love others. We must learn to love the unlovely, the ones we don't like, the ones that don't treat us right, the ones that get away with stuff. You have to love those people. You have to learn how to do it. It's not like flipping a light switch. You can't just say, okay, now I love everybody. Everything's great. I just feel wonderful. That's not how it works. You guys know that. Because there's thoughts about people. There's junk in our hearts about people. Sometimes people we don't even know. Sometimes strangers, or sometimes people we've known for years, that there's stuff built up. And when we think about them, something in our heart just kind of twists a little bit. Or perhaps we have the problem of thinking ourselves better than others. Most people have that problem. It's very rare a person who does not in some way consider themselves superior to other people. How do you get rid of that? That blocks God's grace in our hearts. It's like there's this gigantic rock in our heart. God will not go there if there's this rock in our heart. We have to push the rock out. Now, he'll help us push it, but we got to do the pushing too. We have to learn to love others. Or else our fasting, our prayer, our going to church, everything and anything, none of it matters if you don't love others. St. John says, if a man says he loves God and hates his brother, he is a liar and the truth of God is not in him. It's pretty serious. So that's why at the beginning of this fast, right on the threshold of it, we have this reading from the gospel. Because none of your fasting will be of any good, of any use, if you do not love your neighbor. Now, everything comes in gradations. At least in this life it does. None of us can say we love God fully. Anyone who does is a fool. No, we don't love God fully because we don't obey him fully. If we loved him, we'd obey him. No one can say he loves all of his brothers because there's anger, irritation, judgment, all kinds of other things that happen daily in our lives where we wound our brother. Perhaps we don't wound him in an outward way, but our heart knows that something's amiss. So we must work on this. The most important thing that you can do if you have trouble with someone is pray for them. I don't care if you have to pray through gritted teeth. It's okay. Pray for them. Pray for them and fight the thoughts that come in your heart when you start praying for them. If you pray for somebody you really don't like who's really done you wrong, it's a battle. It's really hard. But you got to pray for them. And eventually your behavior towards them will change and will get better. But at least let it be in your heart that you pray for them. And if you do this, then you can expect God's mercy. You know, there's a story that I've told you many times. I really love this story about a monk who was lazy. He didn't get up for the matins at the matins bell. He came to church haphazardly. He didn't often do his obediences that well. He was lazy. And all the brothers loved him, but were concerned for him. Then he fell sick, and they were concerned that he wasn't making right his life. And as he was dying on the bed, he had the face like that of an angel, and he was happy and smiling. And they said to him, "Brother, why are you so happy? I mean, you've done many bad things in your life. You've always been so lazy and disobedient." And he says, "Yes, that's true. But I tell you, I've never judged anyone, ever." And he saw the angels come to arrive to escort his soul away. And he died in peace. That is possible. Now, most of us, I think, probably won't be able to say we've never judged anyone. We've already kind of ruined that. But we can learn to love our brother. So together with fasting and with an effort to love our brother, to pray for our brother, to not have bad thoughts about our brother, what happens is the soul opens up and God comes and visits the soul in a way that you haven't experienced before. And there's warmth and there's love. And there's a sense of being accepted by God. That will happen if you let go of bad thoughts to other people. So it's all important. The fasting, the prayer, coming to the church services, very important. But all of it must be accompanied by a resolve to love your brother and do not think badly of your brother. And by the way, we know who our brother is, right? The Good Samaritan parable teaches that. Everybody is your brother. Your brother is a stranger. Your brother is your enemy. Everybody is your brother. So may God help you, brothers and sisters, to really steel yourselves to make a great effort during this great Lent, to make some changes. Some of you need to make some changes. Some of you need to fast better than you have in the past. Some of you need to start reading things, especially the scriptures that you haven't been reading much of lately, or to have a better prayer rule. You can talk to me about all these things. I'll tell you, you're not exactly knocking down my door when you on my telephone or anything like that. You're welcome to call me or to meet with me, and we can talk about these things. I want to be able to help you with these things. But all of these things must happen in the context of learning to love your brother. If you have love for your brother, then you will have the love of God in your heart. May God help you to achieve this during this great and holy fast. Amen.